Yeah. So 60s. I went with mostly American
60s.
League.
Campy Campaneris is sitting at short automatically. Maury Wills, wasn't he? He's 60s.
Yeah, of course.
Put him at second base. First base. I'm going Frank Howard. I like Frank. Third base. Brooks.
Yeah, Brooks is that. Gotta be
easy. There. On the mound, Bob Gibson. Catching. Bench played in the 60s.
Yeah.
I know you like freehand. I'm going bench. Bench gets 60s and 70s for me in the catching.
It's just, you know what it is. As I had said, we only really saw the American League.
But I get to go now. Right,
yeah. Yep, you did better than me. Your team probably wins. There's no doubt about that. And,
probably.
And, of course, this guy over here, Dennis, is going to tell me that Dennis McClain never made the Hall of Fame.
Well, he didn't.
He didn't.
All right, folks. We actually have a very special Beatles breakfast break here this morning from Chachi Lepret. And Chachi's going to stick with our opening day baseball theme.
Nice.
By going down to Shea Stadium. Am I right, Chachi?
That is correct, gentlemen. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to be with you once again, celebrating baseball. And I've been listening to this show. And I'm not a huge baseball fan.
Yeah.
But the show's been very interesting and fun to listen to. So thank you. But it brings back memories of WBCN. Back in the day when the Red Sox were always losing, I remember always leaving the office, going across the street in the seventh inning, and they'd let anyone walk in to catch the end of the game.
Yeah.
Those were great days. And the Red Sox did not like the people at BCN because we would openly, talk about how they would lose all the time. Very insulting. We did it all the time. And so much so, we brought in Father Guido Sarducci one morning to exercise the curse of the Bambino out of the stadium, or the park, I should say.
Yeah.
And we got a letter from the Red Sox saying, if you do this promotion, if you step on our sidewalk, anyone will be arrested. They had police there. And so in our creative moment, hired a cherry picker, parked it across the street, put Father Guido Sarducci into the cherry picker bowl there, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
The bucket.
We lifted him the bucket,
yeah.
And we lifted him over the street, so we were not on the sidewalk, and we had hundreds and hundreds of people there to see, and Father Guido Sarducci threw holy water on the park wall, and no one got arrested, but the Red Sox were not happy about that.
That's funny.
Now that's good radio, Chachi. That is great radio.
That was the best. So those are great days. Back when the Red Sox would lose, we could walk in any time.
Yeah.
So it was fun. And, yes, I'm going to talk about Shea Stadium, but I do want to say I have good news and bad news. The good news is I got my first shot yesterday in Chelsea, and the bad news is I should have went to Floramo's afterwards.
I completely
forgot.
What's wrong with you?
I was so set on, oh, my God, I'm going to have symptoms as soon as I get this shot. But it's been great, just a little sore arm. So I thought I'd throw that in as well this morning. And it's good to be here on my third cup of coffee. So let's talk about the Beatles, if you don't mind.
No,
let's
do
it, Chach.
Here we go. I thought we'd do the same this morning with baseball and the Beatles. How do you connect the Beatles to baseball? Of course, it's when they hit a major league home run at Shea Stadium. And this was long before Fenway started hosting live musical acts, Paul McCartney included. And it all goes back to the idea of the late, great concert promoter extraordinaire, Sid Bernstein. Sid and I were friends for a bunch of years before he passed away. Interesting character, a true New Yorker, a showman, a concert promoter, an artist manager, a visionary in so many ways. And, he was probably the first person in America to recognize that there was a band in England gaining in popularity called the Beatles. And he'd read the London papers out of New York all the time. And he described to me how he would see these little articles about the Beatles in the London papers. And then as 63 went by, in 1963, the articles would get bigger and bigger. So he said, I want to find this band. He got a phone number. He called the number. It was Brian Epstein's family home, who became the Beatles' manager. And Brian's mother answered the phone, and she said, oh, yeah, Brian's up in his bedroom. So he got on the phone with Sid Bernstein, and that was the beginning of a relationship between the two that would guide the Beatles to huge worldwide fame, especially in the United States. So at some point soon, I'll do a whole segment on Sid because he was such an amazing man. He used to call me and say, Chachi, I'm going to book Judy Garland at Fenway Park and hit one more out of the park. I was like, Well, that'd be great. So, you know, and Gary, he would invite me to New York all the time to go have lunch with him at his favorite deli, and unfortunately, I never got around to it.
Oh,
but
man.
Let's talk about today, one of Sid's dreams. It was to book the Beatles to perform at the biggest concert at that time. But he had to convince Brian, the Beatles manager, and he did. It was August 15th, 1965, in front of 55,600 fans. The Beatles performed at a sold-out Shea Stadium. So I have some snippets, some little bits of information before we go to our audio clip. So tickets were $455 and $575 to see the Beatles.
Oh my God.
The Beatles played 30 minutes at Shea, made $160,000.
Nice.
But for Sid Bernstein, after all the expenses, he made about $6,500 out of the whole thing. But he didn't care. It was about the show for Sid. Such a great man. So the Beatles had to hop on a helicopter from their hotel in New York, took him to Queens, and the Beatles flew above Shea while there was a DJ on stage saying, "Hey, look up in the sky. Do you see that helicopter?" Though in that helicopter are the Beatles, and they looked down and they could see millions of flash bulbs pointed to the sky, just going off. People were just taking pictures of the copter, and it was a pretty amazing moment. So they landed at the they landed on the roof of a building at the World's Fair, and then the Beatles hopped in a Wells Fargo armored car, which drove them to the stadium. Wells Fargo deputized the band, gave them authentic agent badges, which the Beatles pinned on their suits and wore on stage. But backstage, this is interesting little nuggets here. Backstage, visiting the Beatles, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, and Bobby Vinton.
Quite a crew.
Yeah, what a crew. But in the audience, because the Beatles played Shea twice, Sid saw his dream twice, 65 and 66. In the audience at Shea were Meryl Streep, Ringo's future brother-in-law was there, Joe Walsh from the Eagles. And believe it or not, two future Beatle wives, as teenagers, were in the audience to see the Beatles at Shea Stadium. Barbara Bach, who went on to marry Ringo, and Linda Eastman, who went on to marry Paul. It's pretty amazing. So the audio this morning, I have a clip of the boys describing playing at Shea. And then we're going to hear audio from the stage from the first show in 65. We'll hear Ed Sullivan introducing the Beatles. And after Ed's introduction, we're going to hear a performance of the song, I Feel Fine. And the great thing about this, the audio for this song was taken directly from the soundboard, so it sounds better than most recordings of that show. So, it's been a pleasure to be here on Baseball Sunday on Gary Levitt and Friends. We're going to go back to 1965. This is Chachi LaPrette. Now remember, you can hear Breakfast with the Beatles Saturday morning, 91.9 FM WUMB, and coming up this morning from 10 to noon on Seacoast Oldies in Maine and New Hampshire. And if you go to the respective websites of these radio stations, you can hear the show anywhere in the world. So that's my report. Gentlemen, always a pleasure. April 17th, my second shot, and then I'm going to come into the studio and see you guys.
Basically. Awesome.
Like to see you, bud. Like to see you.
And here we go. Are we ready for the audio? Aaron, take it away.
Well, it was great at Shea Stadium. Oh, it's just amazing. You don't believe it.
It's been fantastic.
Yeah, it just knocks you out. You know, it makes you feel so good inside.
Biggest thing ever. 56,500, someone said. It's fantastic.
Ladies and gentlemen, they will be here soon. They're ready for you. Are you ready for them? I bet you are. Ladies and gentlemen, they'll be up in a few moments. They are getting themselves ready. And let me tell you, they told Cousin Brzee they can't wait to make this their greatest appearance. What do you think of these fabulous Beatles? Let's hear it for them. Let them hear it in the dressing room.
We always get dead nervous before we go on stage. And 9 times out of 10, we suddenly feel tired about half an hour before when we've got to get changed. All of a sudden, everybody's tired. I'm changing into the suits and putting the shirts on. If you are, no. And then just as soon as you get on, it's all right.
We didn't decide till right before the show, actually. Yeah, because we were going to do it yesterday afternoon, but we sort of forgot. So when we got down there, we suddenly realised we'd better have some numbers, you know, and work it out. So we did it in the dressing room before we went on.
I think it makes us less nervous playing to a big crowd than a little crowd.
Because if you're playing to a little crowd, they're going to hear what you're playing.
I think that's the reason why I became a Beatle so easily, you know, was because I didn't have a clue what I was going to do. You know, I just didn't have any ambitions. I never ever wanted to be a train driver or, you know, even when I was little, I can't think of what I wanted to be.
One of our finest newspapermen, the number one showman of the world, and most important of all, a truly great American, Mr. Ed Sullivan.
Thank you very much, Ed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, honored by their country, decorated by their queen, and loved here in America, here are the Beatles.
Thank you very much. We'd like to carry on now with a song which was one of our records a few months ago, and this song is called I Feel Fine.
Asking me, you know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. Baby says she's mine, you know she tells me all the time, you know she said so.